When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I had to go about it, write it out, and find it myself. And there's some stories I can tell you. I had to fail, had to fall, just for one.
It's the Final Word Cricket Podcast. It's the daily India-England Day 3 at Hyderabad. I'm Adam Collins. Cam Ponsonby with me for Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. What a day for England. Sum it up in 30 seconds.
For England to be competitive in this series, they have to be perfect. And on day three in Hyderabad, England were perfect. We don't necessarily have a series. We don't even necessarily have a match. But we had an amazing day's play that, until the very, very end, looked like it could go either way. Ollie Pope, the star of the show, 145 not out. An innings which I can't wait to talk about because it was insane. It was actually, at the beginning, quite bad. Whisper it quietly. And by the end, it was one of the most amazing sporting things I've ever seen. That's the story. England lead by 126. There we go.
I'll grant you a little bit of hyperbole, given you're very much a Surrey lad. More generally, I expect. But no, it is. I think that, well, let's go through the numbers here. 316 for six overnight. A lead of 126. The first 100-run stand of the test match between Ben Folkes, Surrey's keeper, and his teammate Ollie Pope. They put on 112. When England looked like they were in quite a bit of strife, when Ben Stokes fell 163 for five, they were still behind by 27 make that runs, and 41 runs unbeaten between Ray and Ahmed,
yeah,
and Folkes to the close. He's 148 not out. Folkes' contribution of 34 is worth much more than that. I think Pope's innings is say it quietly, it's a modern classic.
Yes.
He's 148 not out. It was skittish at the start. It took a long time for him to find any meaningful rhythm. There was wickets falling down the other end, but a big part of success in India, especially towards the end of test matches, is putting stuff behind you. I remember watching Steve Smith make that amazing second innings 100 at Pune, referenced that test a couple of days ago, back in 17. And what defined that innings was that Jadeja was beating his edge and finding his edge with such regularity, but Smith was still in there, hanging in there, made it to three figures, and later described it as his best test innings because of the mental reserves it required to draw down on, and he was able to meet that challenge. And it felt similar with Pope today. He would get beaten, he would miss the reverse time and time again, but he didn't put it away. And I feel like there's this permission structure in his England side. If you want to sum up baseball, it's providing these very capable and very talented players permission to play in a way that is their best self. And this is Pope's best self. He never would have dared bat this way 3 years ago when he couldn't make a run in India. And I think the style of play meets with a player on the way up, on the trajectory up, one of England's most important players already, their vice captain, and it culminates in a day like today. And he does give them something of a chance. I wouldn't say they're favourites yet.
Oh, absolutely not.
But something of a chance when 24 hours ago they were gone.
Yeah, I'm actually going to double down on the idea that it's the best innings I've potentially ever seen. Or just ever seen. Let's lose the kind of the potentially there. And the reason being is because for the first 20 runs, anyone who says this was an amazing innings throughout is a fucking liar. Until he was on 20, the bloke didn't have eyes. It was awful. It was uncomfortable. We're already writing pieces like, this guy, it's over. How's he ever going to score a run in India? His top scores in India in 9 innings is 35. His innings in the first innings was bad. Like, it's okay to say that without caveating it now because the bloke's 145 not out. But he should have been out about 4 times in 11 balls. Second ball today, he reversed, goes to reverse sweep, misses it. I don't think he connected with a reverse sweep until he was on about 90. And then all of a sudden, later on in the day, he became this kind of majestic cricketer who started lapping Ravindra Jadeja and Ashwin, the spinners, over the head of the wicketkeeper. He was in such control. But I don't necessarily know how. Like, I was kind of, the bad analogy I thought of earlier is kind of, he's found a method that works, but I don't know why. I kind of thought, you know when people sprinkle salt on chocolate and it's really nice and it works, but that feels wrong, that feels odd, and I also don't think you can live off that. I don't know if this is a long-term method of success for Ollie Pope. He always looks so skittish against spin. When he plays one ball, he just plays so much cricket for every delivery. You think this is unsustainable. And then by the end of it, rather than it being looking like a man who was overwhelmed, it looked like a man who had kind of extra reserves of time and extra ideas that to compared to anyone else. Joe Root said this when we just spoke to him now. He said it was a generational innings. He said it was a career-defining innings. Yes, this is an England team that go over the top. But when the change of innings happened and 190 behind, I was chatting to a couple of colleagues and friends, and you're saying the how dire a situation England are in is that you require a generational innings to happen for anything to potentially be saved. And that's the position we are in now. It was a remarkable thing to have witnessed. Congratulations, Ollie Pope. Fair play.
Yeah, and look, so they're 190 runs behind on the first innings, and they do get off to a really enterprising start, a partnership of 45 for the first wicket and 68 for the second wicket, but rattling it on at roughly five and over or something like that. India did change tack. I mean, the Ashwin setup of Crawley, you know, we talk a lot about Ashwin's genius on this show, but ran the wicket, over the wicket, ran the wicket, over the wicket, waiting for the moment where he could go across him and catches enough of the edge to reach first slip, nicely pouched back there. And then Bumrah, who makes Duckett look ridiculous with that piece of reverse swing. You can see Duckett was reaching for a ball on the fifth or sixth stump line, and it takes off stump out of the ground, cartwheeling. They must be watering the stump holes here, because every time the ball hits the stumps, it comes out more of that place. So that means there'll be no challenge with the zinc bales that I've been complaining about over
obsessed.
The last couple of years. So no,
he's
no concerns there. But, you know, Bumrah also... I am, and rightly so. Bumrah also picking up Joe Root with a fine piece of late swing. And you're like, right, they're all over them here. And Ashwin getting Stokes with one that really turns out of the surface, the puff of dust, that sort of cliched puff of dust, and you're thinking, well, Ashwin getting the ball to do that after setting up Crawley that way, he's going to have 6 for 50 in about 20 minutes from now, and England are going to be all out for 170, and they're going to lose the test by an innings. And that's the circumstances upon which you get Pope joining folks. And look, and Joe Root made this point on his post-game interview on telly as well. They've done a pretty good job as the Bazball team of controlling when they apply pressure, with some notable exceptions, Lords against Australia, one of those when they couldn't suppress the pressure. But here, they didn't hit a boundary for about an hour and a half, Pope and folks together. They knew that was the moment to put the brakes on, and that's a sign of a side that's maturing, I think. And Pope's a big part of that story. You know, they need someone to basically be the next Joe Root in this side. And Pope's given signs of it periodically. The 100 back in 2020 in South Africa was the first real taste that he could be a match winner. 100 in Pakistan on a flatty a couple of years ago. The 100 at Trent Bridge against New Zealand. But this one in India, in these circumstances, against this magnificent attack, to put England into a position like that from where they were a few hours earlier, with all the, as you say, the reverse scoops and the reverse laps towards the end of play. Yes, there was one chance, but other than that, he's been brilliant.
I think it's something that I really want to emphasise, is why I'm a bit kind of euphoric and giddy at the moment is not a kind of direct result of Ollie Pope's innings and England having a good day. It's because to the point that England were 170 for 5, it was elite YouTube montage cricket. You had arguably the best bowling attack in the world going up against a batting unit that was stretched to their absolute max and performing, but falling to phenomenal pieces of bowling. If I could choose, if I could craft a day of cricket to watch for my own enjoyment, I would watch Ben Duckett try to reverse sweep all the best bowlers in the world. I would choose to watch Jasprit Bumrah bowling reverse swing. And you had all of that in a nice little package, 2 or 3 hour package. They could do that in like 20 overs each, actually. That'd be a really good format. Someone should think about that. And it was just so exciting to watch. It was an amazing event. And it was something that only until the very end did England really take any sort of advantage. Even if they'd lost the wicket in the last over or two, the game's pretty much dead. The game is still India's, realistically. It's theirs to lose still. But we were kind of going round chatting at tea. We were going, finish today? Do you reckon it's over today? Like, and the kind of consensus was, yeah. England are still 50 behind. They can actually bat well this evening, add another 90 for their final 5 wickets and still lose tonight. It was just until that last period of play, which actually wasn't the most exciting bit of the day, it wasn't the kind of cherry on top cake for England. But yeah, for the first 2 sessions, phenomenal cricket.
And look, England start the day well for the 3rd day in a row, right? So they started yesterday pretty well, and obviously they started day one well with that 50 stand for the first wicket. So we've been conditioned for England getting out of the blocks and then getting dragged back and 3 wickets for 15 runs this morning. We spoke about Joe Root's off-spin yesterday, but it's increasingly clear to the naked eye that he's England's most threatening spinner.
Yeah.
And I know that's partly a Jack Leach story with his fitness, and I'm not trying to diminish what Jack Leach can offer England, but Root at the moment, right now, with all things considered, is their best spinner, and that's an interesting little arc he's gone on over the last couple of years. We love old spinners on the final word. We've made a virtue of talking about
bowling.
All the spinners who have flourished in their late 30s and 40s on the pod across generations. I wonder whether Root might be one of those, and he ends up having this last phase. I mean, I know he's only 34, so he's got plenty of cricket left in him, but I don't know whether he becomes a genuine kind of all-round option for England into the future and gives them yet more flexibility. We'll see. Time will tell on that one. But yeah, the problem for England's been it's been the middle session where the game's been taken away.
Yep.
And then India have excelled after tea. This didn't happen today. They again, and this is the Ben Folkes piece, right? Folkes is a player who periodically is maligned for not being as rainbow rhythms as his colleagues. He does bat more conservatively as a starting point. He's more classical in his technique. But let's never forget that when they went on that run of test victories and when they really changed everything about the way they played test cricket in the middle of 2021, Folkes was front and centre of that. And they spoke about it repeatedly. They liked having him at number 7. It felt good having someone like that. And not just as a safety valve, but a guy who could absorb pressure himself. He's a very mature guy, mature player. I think there was a bit of a false economy going on during the Ashes, giving Bairstow the gloves in order to extend the batting lineup. It didn't quite account for what all-round package Folkes can offer. And I know that He walks off with 34 today. It looks like a start, but the standard 112 coming when it did was almost as important as what Pope did. I know Pope goes on and gets the milestones, and we've already talked about that. But, yeah, Folkes getting into the series in this fashion in the first match, it's a real reminder of what he's worth, and I'm really pleased to see it.
Yeah, look, that's true. It was really boring to watch, though. I'm going to go back. I just seen the best TV show of all time with Jadeja kind of clean bowling Johnny Bairstow, getting one to rag past his outside edge, landing in the same spot, it's skidding on, taking the off stump with Bairstow leaving it. The ball to get Stokes from Ashwin. Ashwin bowled 3 maidens in a row at Stokes. Yep. And then a just disgusting angle of spin. I've never really seen a kind of an off spinner get that type of purchase of low spin across the left-hander. So we had this little period where Stokes got 6 off 33. He was out. The game was done then. And Folkes did play an incredibly important innings. I just wish I hadn't been there to see it. That's a lie. I'm being over the top there. But Folkes was on 12 off 40. And the game had just slowed down. And that is exactly why Ben Folkes exists in this team. And he played wonderfully well. As you say, it was a 100-run partnership plus. He got 34. He was only undone by one that kept very low. The team does look balanced. It looks nice with him. And also, given that there was that kind of little asterisk against his keeping performance, that kind of quarter chance had gone through him with KL Rahul, for him to be able to contribute with his supposedly kind of weaker suits is so important for him. Just within the highs of the day, it was kind of like, it was when you're young and your mum feeds you vegetables and you know they're good for you, and so you have to have them, but you're kind of waiting for the good stuff to come back, basically. You're getting through to pudding, eventually.
This is our generational gap here, isn't it? This is The fact that I'm a little bit older than you, and I fucking loved Folkes gutting it out and doing what he needed to do, and I love eating my vegetables now. That might be
reflective
of
I like vegetables as
my
well.
My vegetarian status. But your analogy still works. I like how you've depicted it. Just to go back to India's bowling, because you're right, there was some outstanding bowling on display, with the exception of Akshar, who then makes the contribution late with the one that keeps low to Folkes, which is not for nothing. This pitch is showing signs of misbehaving.
Absolutely.
But he did put down Pope on 110. They did take to him earlier on when they were trying to put the foot down to put a dent in that first innings deficit of 190. So Akshar's back in the game, having not moved to 50, as we predicted he surely will last night, one of Root's 2 wickets this morning. But the way in which the Indian spinners were able to just smother England for half an hour there at the perfect time, along with Bumrah, who's as much a control bowler as a seamer as well. I mean, you know, Bumrah goes for nothing, right? And the way in which Ashwin and Bumrah and Jadeja can work as a trio, that's why, not just in home conditions, but anywhere, they're so formidable. And Jadeja loved the setup. Harsha did a great job on television of saying, you know, the old two-card trick where one spins prodigiously, the next one on with the arm. That's the stuff you dream of as a finger spinner from around the wicket, as a left armer, knowing the stumps are in play.
Just a word on Akshar. So England took him in his first spell. There's the scorer in the press box reads out the details of every single spell that happens, and so he'll update you on how many kind of the first hour of play, and it turns out there are a lot of statistics to read out, and so you get a lot of information. It's often you go, I don't really feel like I needed that, but today he goes, Axar Patel's first spell is over, it was 5 overs, 0 maidens, 40 runs for 0 wickets. And you go, Jesus, like, yeah. No one's ever done that to kind of Axar or anyone or India's spinners. And so it was such a kind of remarkable display of intent from England. But then in the contrast of... There was a fear when England lost their last wicket, or England took their last wicket, Rehan Ahmed bowled Siraj or Axar Patel, I can't remember, forgive me. And it kept really low. It kept really low. And everyone went, ha ha ha. Yeah. Like, good news for England, also terrible news for England. And the assumption was that then, faced with the three great spinners, they were cooked. It was all going to be over. And then for England to attack in the way they did was such a kind of exciting thing to see. But then you also got the flip side of it when you saw Axar, Ashwin and Jadeja being so phenomenal. There's a criticism of Rohit Sharma later in the piece that he wasn't proactive and he was waiting for England to make a mistake. I think that's fair enough. If I was Rohit Sharma, the weight of history tells me, wait, we'll be fine. Be patient. But on the flip side, in the afternoon, I thought he was very proactive. He came back after lunch and they had a little burst of seam when it wasn't expected because the ball had just started to reverse. And that's when Bumrah got Ben Duckett and looked like he was almost going to get Jody Bairstow. He bowled some incredible Yorkers to Ollie Pope that he was kept out. So I think India were mixing up their attack. And then, as you say again, the fact that Axar gets that wicket at the end, when it keeps very low, yes, bad news for England because Ben Folkes is out. Good news for England that if they can chip another 50, 60 runs tomorrow, we have a cricket match.
Yeah, and look, one thing this England side's got is belief. Now, India don't lose in India. 3 of their last 46, as we continue to be told on commentary, which is there's a reason for that. I mean, 2 test matches where... There have been a lottery, the way that Pune in 17 and Indore in 22 played out, but also one on a flatty in Chennai in 2021, or comparatively flat track, where England won on the final day. But, you know, these are two sides with belief. That's what makes this so tantalising going into the fourth day. England will reckon if they can have 200 to play with, they'll do this. Even with an inferior spin lineup, they'll just... It's the energy this side's got. It's how they're different to 2021 when they were here and... Said before, the way Rohit was captaining, the difference with this England side is they attitudinally have changed. McCullum and Stokes have got them into a mindset where they always believe they can. They're always glass half full, you know what I mean? And typically in India, you go in there feeling glass half empty as a touring side because the record's so daunting. But this is set up spectacularly well. Cam, with all of that said, I think it's time that we move to the final word call of fame.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The final word, Hall of Fame, as always, is brought to you by Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. Now, I like this. Don't wait for the batter to leave their crease for you to underarm a ball at stationary targets some distance away. Head down to All-Star Lanes at Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City before the end of January to take advantage of some incredible offers. Get a main, a cocktail, and bowling for £25 per head.
What?
That's a great deal. Save 50%. Yeah, £25 for a meal, a cocktail, and a chance to do some bowling at All-Star Lanes. I like that a lot. Save 50% on their American diner-inspired menu Monday to Wednesday. Get 2-for-1 cocktails during happy hour, or get lunch for a tenner between Monday and Friday. So every day of the working week, for £10, you get lunch at All-Star Lanes. That's just to name a few of the deals going at the moment. Don't let the dodgy weather keep you on the couch. Come down and see how much fun you can have with 3 fingers. Google Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City for terms and conditions and opening times. Westfield is more extra, less ordinary. Cam, give us a couple of final word moments of the day.
Oh, well, I kind of ruined one because I spoke about Ollie Pope's lap earlier in the day. It was the most incredible shot. Jadeja, he's gone down on one knee, then had to kind of... innovate his premeditation, and somehow managed to scoop it over Chaos Barat's head against Jadeja bowling close to 60 mile an hour. It was just a disgraceful, amazing piece of skill. We didn't even mention that Pope got dropped on 110 by Axel. I think you did, actually. My second one is, I'm actually going to go for India's celebrations when they were taking early wickets, because I love a good celebration, and I thought they were so over the top, because I was like, lads, you have got loads here, don't you worry. And Jasprit Bumrah getting Ben Duckett in particular, he wraps him on the pads, an amazing piece of like late movement, whether it was reverse swing, stayed a bit low, hit him on the pads, and it looked both so out, but one of those things that there was so much movement that you assume it must be missing the stumps. So they didn't go upstairs. They then showed it on the big screen that it was all hitting all three, and they then showed Bumrah just losing his mind in disbelief that they'd managed to not take this wicket. The following over, he managed to repeat the trick, but this time the off stump goes flying and he gives it a massive one. Massive roar as Ben Duckett's walking past, which, like, it's not out of character, but also given that Bumrah's reputation is just he's such a happy, nice human, I enjoyed it all the more, because I went, oh, you really wanted to take that. But congratulations. It was great theatre.
In that same passage of play, when Root was given out leg before wicket, he was so confident when reviewing. He looked like Jadeja yesterday when Root got him, and Jadeja sent it upstairs knowing that he smashed it, and he's sitting there leaning on his splice, smiling. Yeah. Root was kind of doing the same thing, but he didn't hit it, and it was hitting leg stump. It was a weird body language from Joe Root. I'm not sure who he was trying to convince there, maybe himself. And a bit of a preemptive Hall of Fame, or maybe a bit of a watch this space. I just wonder how the pitches for the rest of the series will be informed by what we've seen today. Just leave you with that parting thought, Cam, because there are two ways of interpreting
this.
You can say, well, India will probably win anyway on a pitch that has turned, and that's fine. It's not been a shit heap. It's been a pitch that's turned. There's a distinction between pitches that are designed to be lottery shit heaps and go through the surface on morning one, and pitches that turn a lot. There is a distinction for those who care to pay attention. This has been the latter. But I wonder how the thinking will evolve, knowing that England do have the ability to bat deep in the second innings this time, when they absolutely did not 3 years ago. So a bit of a watch this space. Will it provide incentive to go the other way and turn it up to 11? I don't know. I suppose we'll see it by Isaac next week.
I think if England manage to go 1-0 up here, the last thing India wants to do is turn it into a lottery. They are still the better team. They are a fantastic unit. But, I mean, could you imagine if we're speaking in 24 hours' time and Tom Hartley's bowled England to victory, defending 190, what an absurd scenario of events that would be. As with any cricket match I ever go to, I want there to be two runs to win, nine wickets down, and let's see what happens from there.
Absolutely. The best possible result is all the results on the table, with the exception of the draw deep into the fourth innings. Correct. We should be so lucky. It's been that kind of day where you can dare to dream if you're an England fan, but India still holding on to their advantage in the Test match due to the huge first innings. Like, this has been the Final Word Daily, thanks to Westfield London and Westfield Stratford City. More extra, less ordinary. Cam, enjoy your night. We'll chat again tomorrow.
Will do. See you tomorrow. That'd be the same we've been doing for centuries. Sorry if I ran out to empty, wrote this so you know what I meant here. I had to go.